right.
We're looking to you.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. Today we have some special guests with us.
And we're not in the office.
No, we're not quite in the office. We're in a Hampton Hotel in Leesburg,
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, somewhere in the world. We have GetFPV with us, and we also have Carlos, also known as Sharpoo, with us today. And so let's go ahead and just introduce ourselves real quick, and we're all here. And we'll start with Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred, Flying Monkey.
I'm Josh.
I'm Alex.
I'm Sharpoo.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Andy.
Austin.
And Eric.
So I think we might be tying the record today for most people on the Flight Test Podcast at once.
A lot of people.
So we'll try to keep it as unconfusing as possible, but no promises. So yeah, we basically just wanted to kind of recap the weekend. We've had an awesome weekend this weekend with hanging out in Sarasota with GetFPV guys, and then going to the CFL FPV meet, which is in Leesburg, where we are now. And it's been an awesome weekend. The weather could have been better.
But. I was advertising Florida to you guys. It's the best place to be. The sun is always shining, and today.
Except today. Yeah.
It may have been raining, but it wasn't below zero, and it wasn't in the snow, and there wasn't ice and a crazy wind chill. So
yeah, it was actually really nice for us.
If you're okay training like snow and ice for rain and mud,
which they'll be getting in another couple months anyways.
We discovered something. We all look really, really good in rubber boots.
That's true. We were all matching. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
Fred gave us the heads up when we were on our way to the meet that there was really muddy and really rainy, and so we went and cleaned out a Walmart of rubber boots and all walked out with matching rubber boots.
Which was interesting since I was the only one without rubber boots.
But you were the sacrifice that allowed us to get rubber boots.
So a lady walked by at Walmart, she goes, "What are you guys doing? Like, hey guys walking out with rubber boots."
Carlos actually told him there's a storm coming. You didn't hear about it.
And I told her we're going to survive the body.
So. so we've had a very interesting weekend.
It started on Thursday.
Yeah, we flew in on Thursday. And Eric or Josh didn't get any sleep whatsoever before the trip. So
you guys were about on me that day.
45 minutes respectively each. Yeah.
Yeah, we were planning on doing the podcast that night, but needless to say, after 40 hours of no sleep, they were both worthless to us. And so we had to retire them.
We had a lot of fun, though. It was kind of cool because Andy, I say you, and I'm looking at you, but they don't know who you is.
We'll use names as much as we can.
We will have to remember that. Andy and his wonderful wife, Lisa, invited us into their homes. And this is a huge step of faith because up until now, we only talked on the internet.
Yeah.
And you guys were brave enough to say, yeah, here's how you get into our house and come into our house, and you never met us in person. That's a huge step of faith there.
By the way, can we real quick give the address and security codes?
Yeah, public knowledge
for anybody that wants to spend the night at Andy's house.
I met you guys on the internet. Anybody else would be welcome to come on down.
I mean, it worked out so far. I mean, what could go wrong?
If you say it out loud, it's like, yeah, I was talking to these guys on the phone and on the internet, and they seem like really cool guys. Let's invite them into our home when no one's around. But you're so gracious, and I was so happy because we were going to do the rest of the episode on the Tiny Trainer. And you had a table set up for us so we could build off of it. And that was a blessing. Peter and I were able to knock out those little tiny trainers on that table.
I'm glad you could put it to use. That was awesome.
It was fantastic. And it was also a very late night. And I feel bad I didn't get to say hi to your wonderful wife until the
You did awesome.
Morning.
I got home and you were staying up trying to be polite. And like between words of like somebody else would talk and then... And then Josh would start, he would like get a 10-second break and then his eyes would shut. And then he kind of bob up.
But he would smile. You know, it was strange. He was close eyes, but once in a while he would just smile. I guess he's listening.
He was awake, but his eyes were closed, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It was awesome.
Switches are falling.
I finally said, man, you got to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not even here with us anymore.
I have a question for you, Andy. How did you explain that one to the wife? I'd be like, so we got these guys up from the internet. That have a YouTube show.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about you guys before just as we've started our relationship, and so Lisa knows about who you are, and I've shown videos to her. So it wasn't complete out of the blue.
So she had an idea.
But it did take a little bit, like, hey, I want these guys. Is that okay? And then she's like, how many? I'm like, well, I'm not sure. And then it's like, oh, and Carlos is coming too. And like, there's going to be like six guys. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. And then we had a bedroom that was storage because we had just moved in this house earlier this last year. We haven't even got through everything yet. And it was was a good excuse to clean the bedroom and put some stuff away.
There you go.
It was a lot of work, but it was fun to get it ready, and we were so glad to have you guys there.
And she officially makes the best strawberry shortcake in the world.
That's definitely true.
Hands down.
I agree.
Had it for great breakfast following
one. Yeah, strawberry shortcake, hot tubs, and yeah, whatever else goes with it is fun.
For those of you that might be watching the video, you can probably see her over there. So yeah. That's what we're talking about. Well, before we get too far, most people know Flying Monkey. Most people know Eric. And so let's, real quickly, let's just introduce the three people that are here that most people won't know. So let's start with Carlos, a.k.a. Sharpu. Can you just tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into flying, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Spain, from Madrid, and I moved to the U.S. to work. I mean, I don't work doing this kind of stuff. The stuff that I work on is animation, so I make animated movies and stuff like that. But this has always been a hobby for me, like a fun hobby. You know, every kid, I think, always liked like radio control cars or like radio control planes. I feel like when I was younger, I always wanted a radio control plane, but it was not affordable and I didn't have the money for it. But the first job that I got, I just got a radio control plane and a radio control. I spent the whole month money on that kind of stuff. And from there on, it's just been growing. And you know, depending on how busy I was at work, I will just do a little more or less. But now the mini stuff, the racing minis is the thing that kind of like hooked me up again and just start doing it, you know?
And you have rapidly excelled at flying minis. How long have you been flying FPV minis?
Minis, less than a year, something like that. Yeah, but it was one of those things that it's interesting. When you first start, it feels really hard somehow. And I have I probably have another like at least 3 years of around 3 years of experience just flying line of sight, you know, but same quadcopters, a little bigger, but just line of sight and doing a little acrobatics and stuff. But the first time you put the glasses on and start flying, it feels hard, you know. It feels like, oh, this is really challenging. But it's this threshold of time that if you pass it, then all of a sudden it kind of clicks and
you don't even have to think about
it. And it's so much fun. I mean, I remember the first times I used to go downstairs in my house, there's a little baseball court there, and I just was playing over there and going around myself. And there was one day that I remember that I was flying around, and I just felt that disconnection from my body, you know, like, oh, I'm almost becoming the little quadcopter.
Yeah.
And that was the day that I said, man, this is so addicting. This is like, from there on, it was like every day, every time.
You see yourself third person, and it's like this out-of-body experience.
Yeah, I guess that was the moment when you, I was just going for a while, right? One battery, another battery, and then and the fourth battery or something like that, so I just passed around behind me, and I thought, oh, who's that?
For
a second.
Who's that guy?
And then it's when you go, oh, okay, this is something else.
Yeah, remember, there's a guy standing there.
Yeah.
Wait, that's me.
Yeah. And then from there on, it's just like, I try to do it as much as I can when I have free time. That's
awesome. So how long was it before you went through, like, your first window, like, little
that's
space?
Pretty small space. Like, it was, like I was saying, like, the first few weeks it was a little challenging, but the moment it clicked, it was just like every day I'll do something that was way more complicated. I thought it was impossible for me, but I'll just go and just like, this is a hole there, or there's a door, I think I can go, boom, go through. Okay, let's just do something else, you know. And this keeps like, to me, it felt really similar to when I was younger. I used to do skating and inline skating, like competitions and stuff like that, which is all based on like tricks and doing cool stuff. So to me, this felt really similar. Mm-hmm. I felt right like doing that. It's the same feeling.
So people that know who you are or have seen your videos, and by the way, if you Google, you know, YouTube Sharpu, you'll see some amazing things. So people that just heard that you've been flying for over a year, they've actually turned off the podcast out of anger because they realize that you've only been flying for a year. So would you attribute your success and, you know, how far you've excelled to that willingness just to make yourself uncomfortable and try something that you were a little bit uncomfortable with?
Well, I think there's a combination of things. One of the things, like, coming from a background of doing skating or inline skating, mm-hmm. and things that are like any kind of extreme sport, I felt that there was no danger to it. And that's a huge element, because the reason why I stopped skating and stuff like that, because one of my legs got a little hurt. And I'm as old now and it hurts a little more. So no, really, I mean, I was trying to skate, like, I don't know, a while back, probably like 3 years ago, I went to a skate park again and practiced, and I was like skating for like 2 minutes, and I was, all right, I can't do this anymore. I was so tired, and like so like destroyed, and I used to skate like a whole day nonstop.
Right.
Anyways, but I hear a lot of people coming to me and saying, oh, man, I just saw you doing this roll through this small gap or whatever. How do you do that? And I feel, well, like, you're not going to hurt yourself, man. You just go and do it. You know, like, yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, it's going to maybe cost a little bit of money, but, you know, right. But other than that, it's like, but I don't know, the success is also just connecting with you guys, you know, with GetFPV and Lumineer, and they helping me out with gear and stuff. Then that also removes a lot of the element of, like, if sure. you crash, you know, it's going to spend a little bit of money. But I don't know, I think it's timing as well. It was the right moment where everybody was getting really into it, and, you know.
We apologize if you guys are hearing some background noise. We are not in studio today, as you might have surmised.
We're in the lobby of a hotel.
We're in the lobby of a hotel. But
matter of fact, if these are actually working and we're going to use them, you'll see it.
Yeah, exactly. You'll see people walking by. And
some vacuums in the background.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, we thought this was important to do anyway. Sure. So, you know, flying something like QAV 250, obviously, it's extremely tough frame. And it's extremely, you know, durable, but, and also being sponsored helps, you know, you have a little bit less fear of crashing, because yeah. you know that Tim and Andy here will ship you off.
Send you new ones.
Send you a new one, but, would you, I'm assuming you would recommend, you know, for people that are wanting to push it a little harder and push it a little further, you're wanting, you know, I'm assuming you would recommend, you know, kind of scaling up the frame a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, I think that's one of the things, and Tim was mentioning, earlier today, like, it's one of these hobbies that everybody likes to modify their own creations and just customize it to what you like. So, and especially right now where this thing is booming so fast and everything is changing, you can't almost keep up. So you can have a frame that you release whatever, that's like a month ago, and it feels like everything is advancing so fast that you're gonna have to keep somehow modding it, adding new things. One of the things that I always keep in mind is just like resistance, you know. I will always try to keep it resistant, even if you lose a little bit of performance. I feel like you just want to stay in the air. So if it crashes and you have to change a lot of things, and like, I always try to stay in the air as much as possible. So if things break, they're easy to fix, or place all the electronics in areas that you know they're gonna not take the hit, you know, or I mean take the hit and not break, you know. That's, to me, is really important. I always keep an eye on that, and the only way of really figuring that out is by turning the vacuum and no, the only way to figure that out is really flying, crashing and breaking things, and then realizing, you know, what kind of things you have to move or change the place or you know, modify, you know.
Buying props in bulk.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's, let's speak about that, because that was amazing, your backpack. Yeah. And the props.
Yeah, it just filled up. It's just one backpack with props.
Yeah. And he laughs about that. It's true. In every aspect, imagine a backpack filled with props, and that's Sharpu's backpack. So he poured it out, and it just was like, just dumping out like a 5-gallon bucket.
That, yeah. That's the commonality, though, across all the bikes.
That's not that,
good or bad.
Not only me. That just happens. I mean, these are small propellers, and they tend to break really easily. Yeah. So, and not even like in big crashes. Like even in normal crashes, they will snap, and you have to change them. I was saying earlier, like the trick is, I change them really fast, so I don't think about it. Because otherwise, every time I think about one prop less, it just feels wrong. Yeah. So I just do it really fast and don't think about it and just fly.
Get back
just,
up in the air. Yeah,
I think the biggest piece of wisdom that I've learned from him so far is don't fall in love with your mini quad. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You see these guys that like build these amazing quads. And like this one guy, I forget where I saw it on Facebook, he actually took wood stain and stained it all. And it was beautiful. Oops. And it's like he said it'll break your heart because you're going to crash.
It will break your heart.
It.
I mean, and you have those moments where people people show you their creations, and they're so proud, and you don't want to say anything. And they're new to the mini, you know. They might come from radio control planes or helis, and it's like, you know, there's that especially with 3D helis, they're so tight and everything is so perfect because it have to work super correctly, you know, and mechanically have to be perfectly tuned. So with the minis, they will show you the minis and they're like perfectly color arranged. And you just go like, oh man, that's really nice. But really, really you're thinking, oh man, that's going to be sad.
Don't fly that. You're going to wreck it.
Keep it.
That's what you're thinking.
Keep it on, build another one just for that.
I'll say one of the things that helped me with my comfort level flying is having a second quadcopter so that, you know, I know I'm going to break the first. I do have a backup to fly.
Yeah. Yeah,
just have the nice one, and then yeah.
It definitely helps. Yesterday we were in Sarasota and we shot an episode with Carlos, and it was fly like Sharpu.
Yeah,
and so the original idea, we didn't end up doing it, but the original idea was Sharpu would do a crazy maneuver, you know, like fly through a tree or do a flip or a roll, something crazy. And then like Josh would try it and I'd try it. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I was like, yeah, Carlos, you do that and then we'll try to do it and we'll probably crash and it'll be funny and entertaining. And he's like, oh no, I'll crash too. we'll all crash together.
I mean, it's part of it. It's definitely part of it.
You gotta embrace it. Yeah. You gotta embrace the crash.
Yeah. And the footage is awesome. The crashes are like some of the. Every time I add a little crash at the end of a video or something, people really love that, you know? Because it's just part of it.
Well, and it's real, too, because you can't take chances like that without crashing. And to try to fake that, people are going to, you know, just sharing that experience is just awesome.
I mean, especially coming from, like, you know, people that come from again, like planes or helicopters or. When you tell them, like, you know, when they're transitioning to this and trying new stuff, they always have that question where, like, yeah, sometimes you crash. And like, no, not sometimes. I mean, every time I fly, I crash. I mean, this is not like, I mean, it's part of it. Like, you crash every day. If you're flying, you're going to crash at least once, twice. I mean, this happens.
Okay, how many times you crash today?
None.
Like I said,
you only flew twice.
So. Yeah, but I only flew like a couple of batteries. But the ground was so wet that I was extremely like careful.
And to be fair, you had a lot of people watching, so you might have been a little more conservative than you would normally be.
Yeah, this is new to me. I mean, really, I tried to sneak into the area. I just grabbed the quadcopter and plugged the battery. It wasn't raining, so I said, okay, I'm gonna sneak in. And then slowly, like, I start hearing people, and then you guys were talking in my ear, like, I know you like when people talk to you in. And I'm like, this is great.
And then all of a sudden, you got the announcer on the loudspeaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Sharpu in the air.
Yeah. Gather around.
Everybody come on.
No pressure.
Yeah, on the count of three, we're going to ask him a question all at the same time.
Great. So, yeah, all of that stuff is new to me. You know, I'm not used to these kind of events. But it's been amazing. You know?
Yeah, we hope to see you at a lot more.
We learned a lot from you, too. You get to do those episodes with you guys, to get to fly with you and hang out with you. You taught us a tremendous amount of stuff. And we appreciate it. I'm just truly humbled on how you went from flying a circuit in an area you didn't know to, okay, oh, look, there's a hole in the tree. And, oh, let's go ahead and do a flip through that hole in the tree. while we're doing it very fast. You know, and it just was an inspiration to us to see. And you know what one of my favorite things is your bike tool for your skateboard.
Oh, yeah.
This is the coolest thing. I want to find out where these things are and get them because they're amazing. Have you seen this bike tool?
I said the same thing to him today.
Yeah.
Because it changes the prop and the nuts. It's so much easier.
Is it a park tool?
It's a skateboard tool, you know, like for a skateboard.
You can get them at the bicycle shop.
Yeah, and you can spin it. Yeah, so that's what I use to go really fast. The next step is just using a drill.
Woo! Yeah. NASCAR.
That's hilarious.
Cool thing, Sharpu, you're talking about how you know how this hobby is great because you know customizing your frames and everything. You and Tim and Andy, you guys take what Sharpu oftentimes does and then applies that to your product line, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think you know one of the things when we design a frame, you know, we don't know yet exactly how people will.
By the way, that's my phone.
I shut mine off.
That's probably smart. Yeah,
that'll remind all of us to shut the phones off. Now everyone's gonna take them out.
Mine
was off too.
When we design a frame, we don't know yet exactly how people will use it. So, what happened with the QAB 250 is when we brought it out, which wasn't that long ago, a little over a year ago,
yeah.
And we saw it taking off sort of over the past 6 months. And there were so many ideas that were coming up, you know, either from Carlos or other pilots. And what we did then was to introduce these things, these ideas, as add-ons, accessories later on. Like, for example, the angled motor mount, you know, which... We wanted to come up with something that allowed a pilot to put a 6-inch prop on the QAB 250, which wasn't possible in the base configuration, but also to angle the motors forward, which was all of a sudden becoming very popular. So we came up with a very clever way to do that with one part that does both. It extends the motor out and angles the motor forward. So it's these kinds of things, you know, when you have a large install base like we have now with the QAB 250, coming up with these add-ons is actually a practical thing for us to do as a company. And we've seen that frame to just keep on growing in its popularity. And obviously, Carlos helps a great deal for people that want to get into it. You know, they can look at his videos and they see exactly all the parts that go into it and how he's built his frame. It's a very helpful tool, but they can also see then how it performs, obviously, in the hands of a very gifted pilot.
Right. Well, even saw, like, especially, you know, Tim and Carlos back at the Get FPV shop,
And you guys were just like talking to each other naturally, like, hey, you know, this and this is what I did, and this is what I like to do, and this is what I've noticed, that sort of thing. That probably really helps you guys develop something that people really want to fly.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if the modifications that he made to his 250 frames, they're all brilliant, you know, and yeah. they all make so much sense. So, and it's relatively straightforward for us now, again, with this install base, to come out with an extra plate that gives you that, you know, the tweak. We're not seeing the frame now, so it's hard to describe, but
yeah.
It's all pretty straightforward now. You know, if you look at the QAV250 again on our shop, Get FPV, you see a lot of accessories and add-ons and the AeroGuard, which sort of hides all the electronics and cleans that up a great deal. So when you're landing in dirt, which we always do, you know, that it stays out of the innards of the frame. Yeah.
The grass is the first time I flew with the AeroGuard, the thing is like, so I was thinking, well, yeah, this is going to probably protect you a little bit from the wind getting in there and stuff. But when I pick it up, and I saw the amount of grass that was on the side of the AeroGuard, I was like, okay, well, yeah, this is interesting. Because, yeah, you always, every time you fly after you fly,
land or take off in the grass, there's all this tall grass.
Yeah.
It's like a weed whacker.
A can of air to spray it all out or something. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of good feedback from customers that like that there's like a whole, like you said, a group of accessories around the product too. So you can start at a base level, similar to the plane that you guys were talking about, how you start, you know, one level and you can build on it. So the same with the 250, you know, you can start basic 3-cell, 5-inch prop, and then you don't have to keep changing it out to go up. You can kind of move up with an extension. You can change, add things to it, and make it your own. Lots of options, which
Depending on what kind of flying you're really interested in.
Yeah. And based on what's in style.
that's a big thing. I mean, the trends are like...
Whatever Carlos is doing is in style.
No, I mean, the truth is that I do pass the information to you guys all the time, to Tim, like, because I'm flying as much as I can, you know, when I have time, so... But every weekend, I think if the weather is okay, I will try to fly, right? So I fly with a lot of people, so I'm just getting all that feedback. And being like,
and it's valuable to us because, we're just, a lot of times we're stuck in the office. We can't fly as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So it's really valuable to get that feedback, like, you know, one day later from when you flew. It's not like 2 months down the road.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things this week was seeing Eric and Carlos get to hang out, and also you, Alex, too, what you guys learned from each other. And you guys' model is awesome, too. I know Eric's been a real blessing with us coming on the team recently. He's always been on the team, but just more active now. But like angle arm brackets and his little board mount and stuff. But it's cool how you can take just a standard frame and you can change something on it and change characteristics. Like your bent is more towards aerial photography. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. You can't do that with a plane as easy. You know, you can't just repurpose it with a couple of little bolt-on parts.
Yeah.
Where with yours, you know, you can go from this type of frame and put on parts and suddenly have angled arms and it's flying faster, you're running bigger motors, bigger props. You don't have to scalp your machine. You don't have to completely invest in a new machine. It's like an old friend that you're just, you know, putting a little hop up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cool.
That's a great point, Josh. You know, one product that we've had for some time is the QAV400, sort of the bigger brother of the QAV250. And that frame, it's sort of interesting when you're looking at the QAV250 now. We started with 5-inch props in the minis, and now then people are putting on 6-inch props, and now it's like 7-inch props, and now an 8-inch prop. And
that's
like
QAV400.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just came full circle. Ago,
yeah.
I'm trying to stop that momentum. I'm going, let's stop in 6, guys. Let's stop in 6.
Yeah.
We're going too big.
Good. Yeah,
well, 6 is a nice size.
I think it's a good in between. There's one thing that I miss with 5-inch propellers is like the frame becomes a lot smaller.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it's also really like a lot more nimble and you know, from I already got used to using 6-inch propellers, but I missed something in the beginning as using when I transitioned to 6, which like I was able to fly like anywhere, you know, like even in small spaces. And then it took me a little bit of time to be able to be that comfortable on 6 inches.
Yeah.
But so sometimes I think I should just get back to 5 inches again and have one 5 and 6.
Yeah, I've thought about that as well.
Also, the other thing about 5 inches that is to me became a little bit of an issue was that not an issue because you can do it, but for the performance that I wanted, 5 inches if you're carrying a GoPro is a little heavy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So then the moment you switch to 6, then the GoPro is not an issue anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still fly completely fine on 5 inches, but for the kind of stuff that I wanted to do, it was a little.
Doesn't
you needed
have quite
a little
the punch
more.
Out.
Yeah.
I think before we get any more into multi-rotor design or design in general, We haven't got to Tim and Andy yet.
Yeah, we need to work our way through. Things have just been so fun and so interesting. I haven't been rushing things along too much. But yeah, Tim Nielsen, you're the owner and CEO, I'm assuming is your title, of GetUpPV?
President
of GetUpPV. And just done phenomenal things with that company in the past couple of years. And can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the hobby and how you started the company?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got into the hobby just really out of interest in fixed-wing airplanes, little Decron planes that were, you know, flown inside for these, you know, air shows inside these gymnasiums. And for whatever reason, that sparked it with me.
Like
you know,
that's the 3D stuff, right?
The 3D amazing stuff that these guys are flying. So that's how I sort of got into the hobby as a builder and a flyer. And, you know, from there then, I sort of quickly looked at FPV, and this we're talking maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, and FPV seemed like the most brilliant thing, you know, where you could sit on the ground and you go anywhere you want in the air.
It was still very new at that time too.
It was very new at the time. The technology was very new still, and there wasn't that many people doing it. You know, Rafael Trappi, a friend of mine, you know, obviously did some interesting things, shall we say, at the time with some of the videos he put out. But it really sparked it again for me, and I quickly started to work on products that I felt didn't exist yet to make this better. And the thing for me was always at the time, the multirotors had a lot of vibrations in the picture. You know, people were already putting GoPros on their multirotors,
sure,
but the picture was always riddled with vibrations or jello. So I started working on these concepts, you know, how can we make that better?
Or they were taking frames that were purposed for FPV and they were just sticking a camera on it.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really anything that was purpose-built for FPV or purpose-built for aerial videography, really. I mean, there were much bigger airships, but not sort of the smaller tricopter or smaller quadcopter. So this is when I started developing, while I was still working at Sony at the time in New York, trying to come up with ways to make that problem go away. And what I came up with was what I called the clean dirty separation of the airframe, where you have the dirty airframe that has the motors and the ESCs, and then it's connected to the clean airframe with the help of these vibration bobbins. And I tested every bobbin under the sun, you know, to try to find the perfect bobbin, which I didn't find one, so I had to make one on my own. Made a mold and made silicon bobbins. And that's how I started sort of in this business of creating products that I felt didn't exist and needed to exist. And so the real first product in this line was the QAB500 that had this clean, dirty separation out there. And now if you look at the airframes in the sort of in this hobby, many of those airframes have the same sort of clean, dirty separation in them now. So that's how I started. And, you know, when we were making these airframes, I was doing them from my apartment in New York. And it was crazy. I mean, it was just an explosion of interest. And
you were a one-man band, right?
One-man band, you know, and I still had a full-time job, you know. It's like, so at some point I said to my wife, you know, I really love this. You know, I really love this hobby, and I really feel like I'm contributing something that's valuable to the hobbyist and valuable to me personally as a business owner. So a few more months down the line, I decided, you know what, I think it's time now to leave Sony, where I was very well paid and an executive in the Sony Music section of Sony. And I said, let's just go somewhere else. We'll move somewhere. And we focus only on this business. GetFPV was, you know, then the name for the store. And then, you know, we started actually as FPV Manuals, which some of you may remember, which was a blog that I started. That was my first thing.
Sure.
But yeah, so then, you know, we decided to go for it. I quit my job, moved down to Sarasota, Florida, because it's beautiful there. for no other reason. I have no family there or anything. We just picked it off the map and came down here. And yeah, ever since then, we've been growing ever since. You know, we're now in a much larger facility with many great employees, and Andy being the general manager of the GetFPV business. So we're now splitting up a little bit more on the Lumenia product development side. We just brought somebody in to focus 100% on just product development, because I'm so busy now that I, you know, can't do it all myself anymore. So it's great to have a staff now on the on the product development side as well as on the store side, customer service and all the elements that go into running a successful store. So that's
So getfpv.com is your massive online store. Can you describe a little bit to people who may be unfamiliar what Lumineer is and what that means?
So we were always sort of, you know, when we first came up with the QAV 500, I needed to sell it somehow, you know.
Sure.
When I say we, it was just me, you know, I needed to somehow sell it. So then I realized, well, it should be sold on a store. You know, what am I going to call this store? You know, so I thought about it literally for 10 minutes, thought, well, get FPV sounds like a short, quick URL. The URL was available, so I registered it, and that's how the store was named. And the products were always named FPV manuals still at the time, and that really wasn't a good fit because that was more of a blog and an educational side. So we're then starting to think about, well, we really should make a change on the product side. And we, you know, Andy and I labored over, you know, for a few weeks of what are we going to call this thing, and through a lot of word playing and spreadsheets of names, combining
and
everything.
Like, we like these to start with, we like this as the endings, and then you try to match endings with starts.
Pretty cool.
Eventually we added Lumen, and then he had the IER, and we Lumineer, and it sounded good. We found a domain. I think it was owned, but it was reasonably priced.
Yeah,
so
we were able to buy the .com.
Yeah, sometimes that's the biggest challenge, just finding a domain name anymore.
It's amazing how many business names now are purely a function of what domain's available.
It's really true.
And that's really how why Flight Test is at least spelled how it is because
is that right?
We're like, yeah. I mean, there were so many, you know, domain name was not available. There were so many social media and sort of things taken. So we're like, you know, that's how...
I never have a problem with Charpoo.
See, that's why you're a smart guy, you know.
You just go for the weirdest name that nobody can pronounce, and you're safe.
Or spell, right?
Yeah,
or spell. Impossible.
How do you spell Charpoo? In case people want to know your video.
Wow. Charpu.
Tell them where it came from. People probably don't even know why.
Yeah, well, this is back from, like, it really is one of those things in the, as you can say, in the beginning of the internet. when everybody was picking emails, and I just choose, my friends used to call me Charlie back in Spain.
Okay.
And my surname is Puertolas, so, you know, just let's take a little bit of the name out, Char, I leave Char, and then grab the first part of my surname, Charpu. Okay, well, that works. And then after that, in the animation kind of world in Spain, I was being called that a lot, and my email was that, so... It just sticked, and then when I first created this YouTube account to put some of the FPV videos, I said, well, might as well just stick with this, you know? So,
nice.
And now everybody's just pronouncing it weird ways, and
For the record, how is it pronounced? Just
however you like to pronounce it.
Charpu it is.
Open for interpretation.
I mean, if I was saying it in Spanish, I would say something like Charpu. But you know. I mean, it's pretty easy to, even if you pronounce it really wrong, it still sounds kind of like similar. You're not going to confuse it with something else.
It's good enough.
Now, if you do it all over again, would you like to be called something different?
Nah, I stick with this.
That's cool.
I'm used to it.
Are you pretty used to it, people interchangeably calling you Carlos and Charpu?
I'm fine. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Even at work, some people call me Charpu. It's just like a nickname for me.
Nice.
My older car, I used to have the plate that says Charpu.
Nice.
And now, this wasn't even when I was doing any FPV stuff.
Sure.
I'm thinking I was bringing it back.
You may as well.
And then somehow at FPV, I'm
going to start honking at you.
Yeah.
Charpu.
People will pull you over on the street, you know?
Well, funny enough, this is to me, again, it's surreal, but when I was flying over here in San Jose Airport, I have two people stopping me, and that to me is just like weird. like a guy is looking at me again, that doing that weird look, like they look at you and they look away and they look at you, and then I turn around my bag and I have a Lumineer sticker on it, and then the guy just his eyes light up, and they just walk over, and I was looking at there was a little GoPro stand on the airport, so it was all so cliche somehow. I'm looking at a GoPro video on the screen, and this guy shows up, and he just said, like, yeah, man, I watch your videos, and I'm building a... Well, a lot of the people say the same things, like, it's your fault that I'm spending all of this money. Yeah. And you guys get that all the time, probably.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, it's fun. I'm just trying to lighten it up. Some people say it actually, like, you know, you made me spend a lot of money. And then they just start smiling.
My wife is so mad, yeah.
I sold my home because of you.
But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It always catches me, like, surprised. I think the most shocking thing, also, living where I live in the Bay Area, there's a lot of people that are into, like, you know, technology. And so all of these quadcopters and radio control and drones, whatever you want to call it, is something that is really popular right now. So all the tech companies are really, you know, getting familiar with this stuff.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing is I was having a haircut. And I go to pay the haircut, and there was somebody fixing the computer on the store. And he's like, hey, man, you're the guy who built the quadcopter online, right? He's like, yeah, I built one. I'm building one for my son. And I was like, yeah, for your son, yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah, right.
Wait, yeah,
so how does he move to?
Yeah. No, we don't have him yet.
One day I will have a son.
Yeah,
we'll buy this quadcopter.
You will have a quadcopter.
So was that from the video you did with Tested?
Yeah,
is that
the Tested video.
To?
I think the Tested video reached a lot of people, and then they dig more, and they start finding other stuff. But the Tested thing was interesting because I mean, that was the whole idea that they have, and we were talking about it. It was just try to do something really simple so people get into it and feel like, hey, we can do this, you know, like most of your videos, you know, it gives you that feeling of like, oh, yeah, I can do this. This is a cool thing, you know. So
yeah,
it worked out, and people seem to really enjoy it. So
yeah, we're big fans of the Tested channel, so we're really excited to see you on there. And I think that did a lot for people just kind of curious about it. They're like, they're aware of the industry, they're aware of the technology and the hobby, but I think seeing that video, I think for a lot of people, really pushed them over the top.
And the comments I read on the video, a lot of them were not familiar. You know,
yes.
They would say, well, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, this is incredible.
I gotta do this.
I have to get into this. I mean, there was a lot of comments like that, which is really,
it's
obviously
really cool,
great for us to see, and the market still is growing and being exposed to a much larger audience now.
Well, and what struck me too is with as much negative attention there is in the media, to have such a positive presentation of it was phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Tested does a really good job at covering such a broad, you know, diversity of tech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they cover the whole gamut.
Yeah. They really have a big job.
Yeah, they really do, and they got a lot of people following them, and that's one of the reasons I love that channel so much. I actually noticed before we came down here, they just released a video on the top beginner transmitters for getting into the hobby. So it seems, and I've noticed
great,
that they've been getting kind of more into the RC stuff a lot lately,
really,
especially since the Inspire.
Yeah, they started like with the Phantom. They had a few episodes, and
it's,
I kind of laughed
keeps,
at some
I feel like
they're getting better.
I feel like Norm or somebody on the show is like, they may have caught the bug, so they're getting into it.
Norm loved it. I mean, when we were building the QAV, he was so into it, you know. And I was surprised because, you know, I mean, watching them for a while as well, like, I'm a fan, and the first time we met up was that video that we did on the abandoned area, right?
Yeah.
We're just flying. It was about racing mini quads. And he showed up, and he was carrying everything, you know? He was carrying the bag and the camera and the tripod. And I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? It's just him. It's him. And he just did the whole thing himself. But you can tell that he wasn't doing his job, you know. It's like, you guys, you're doing something that you enjoy so much.
Yeah.
So you feel that energy, and he was like taking shots everywhere and like
super interested.
He was super interested, genuinely
really cool,
interested.
Yeah.
And then after that little show that we did there, and then he just mentioned like, man, we should do something else, we should do a build. And then hopefully in the future I want to meet up again with him and fly his quadcopter.
His build.
Yeah, because he haven't have time to fly it yet. So I'm like, yeah, we ought to go and crash it, you know?
It's that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, really cool.
Considering how difficult domain names can be, you might want to go buy Flight Tested right now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there you go, yeah. Yeah, that's
before
good.
Better buy it before we air the pod.
That's let's cut that section, right?
Yeah. And edit at 42:19.
Yes, we'll go ahead and cut that out. No,
very good.
So I have a question, if it's okay for Tim. You started mentioning that Andy is your general manager at GetFPV. How did you guys meet?
We actually met at one of these FPV events that we're at today.
Yeah, the same one, just two and a half years ago now.
2.5 years.
Wow. When it was sunny.
When it was beautiful, sunny, no rain, no mud. We met, and Andy at the time was working for a web development shop, so obviously a very technical guy, but totally into the hobby. And we got together and we met up just a little bit later. You happened to he lived in Sarasota.
Yeah, it was surreal for me because I got into the hobby a couple years before that, and I started as a kid. I was always into similar like cars and planes, but I couldn't afford planes. You know, 15, 20 years ago, planes are crazy and they're big gassers, and you just couldn't throw a foamy up in the air with like. So I never got to that point, but I had some RC cars, and then I had a friend at work 5 years ago, whatever it was, and he had like a little balsa plane with an electric motor, and I was like, oh yeah, I always wanted to do planes. I just never could get into it. And then I started looking at pricing. I was like, I've got a job now. I can at least afford a little bit. It's not just saving up allowance. So I got into some planes, and then I saw FPV like Tim did, and I was like, I definitely want to do that, and how do I do it? And then I made a choice, like, do I want to do multi-rotors? I had already started with planes, so I started with a plane, and I like jumped right into like a lot of people. I'm going like 10 miles out,
yeah, like right.
First flight, right? Like it's just gonna happen. And so I built a whole long range system, and I had some successful flights, not real long range, but I ended up losing it and like crying myself to sleep after I lost all that. It was gone forever, never found it. Lost video a ways out. And then I decided I wanted to start going and getting the multi-rotors. I started looking, and I actually found Tim when he had just developed the QAV 500. He was still in New York. And I didn't end up buying it at the point, but I remember thinking, like, if I ever get into FPV, it's like that looked like what I wanted. And then I go to this meet, and I had some planes with me and stuff, and I meet Tim. I had no idea he was going to be there, and I knew the company. I knew FPV Manuals. And then I'm like, why are you here? And he's like, we started talking, and he's like, oh, I'm in Sarasota. I'm like, well, no way. I'm like, nobody else there was from Sarasota. And yeah. We're like 3 hours away from Sarasota at this meet, and we started talking, and Lisa was there, my wife, and we had cornhole. We played some cornhole and just made a relationship. We actually, you had a guy that was working with you at the time, helping you out shipping, and Lisa would actually babysat that guy as a kid. Like, he lived in her neighborhood growing up.
That's crazy.
It's a small world. It's crazy.
That's a coincidence.
So, from there, we just kept in touch for the next 4 or 5 months. I started doing some photography for some of your products because I do web design, and I also do some photography, so I was like, I can do good photos for you for your stuff instead of just like a cell phone pic or something.
Yeah.
So we did that for a while and just kept in touch, and then I think you just realized your business kept growing.
Yeah.
And you started talking to me about like you want to do this for a job, and I was like, yeah, that'd be really cool. I do on the weekends for a job? Yeah, I'll do that.
That's awesome. A huge commonality here is having wives that support us in what we do. It seems like every person, Josh and Tim, like everyone has wives that are really supportive. Alex's wife works in the department at Flight Test, and like that's a huge thing.
I think it's honestly a key ingredient, especially something as crazy as what it sounds like to people when you say, yeah, I want to go ahead and take something that's normal and identifiable to people and say, I want to just go away from that directly and make a living in model aviation, and
Tim has.
I was at, Sony, right? I sold my company to Sony in the sort of early 2000s, and I was at the end. I was a chief technology officer for Sony Music, so working on MichaelJackson.com and ACDC.com, having lots of people under me in my department, and I said to my dad, Dad, I'm going to do these tricopters. You're going to do what?
I'm leaving my job.
So I'm leaving my job in New York, and I'm moving to Florida. And luckily, my dad is totally supportive and the greatest person you'll ever meet. And he was cool with it because I did it in the past. I had a startup that I sold to Sony successfully, luckily. But it was funny when the people also at Sony, when you tell them what you're about to do, they say, are you sure? That they think you're crazy. They wonder if you lost your ability to judge sort of anything.
They're worried you're having a psychotic break.
All of a sudden.
I kind of feel the same. It's not related, but it made me remind me of like when I was younger and I wanted to do this animation thing, And my parents and some of my friends were just like, what? You're going to just go and draw cartoons? You're crazy, man. Back in the day, this is like probably 15 years ago. So people would say the same, you're crazy, man. You can't make money out of it. Yeah. If you like something enough,
Yeah.
Yeah. And look where you are now. And the same is true for us. Get FPV has grown to be, arguably maybe the largest FPV specialty retailer in the FPV segment in the world.
Yeah, when I joined you, we were working out of your house in a old garage that was converted into a room, and we had like all of our inventory within arm's reach, pretty much. And we quickly like filled into the hallways and Now we have the building. Now we're looking to expand again.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, walking through there today, that's the first time I've been here on the actual store. And just walking through those corridors with you guys, we were like looking around like,
yeah. You guys are joking. You want to, like, give me a minute with a shopping cart and I'm just going to go
like,
run through
the
aisles.
I remember watching those shows, and those are, I've never seen those shows in Spain, but I remember watching those shows here where it's like the whole thing, the prize was free, like, you have the card and you fill it up.
Yeah, it's like Kids, like, Kids R Us or something. You go through and just wipe the shelves down.
I don't even need the card. I can carry. Put it inside my t-shirt. And I don't know.
What's funny is that we joked about the exact same thing. We walked in to get FPV, we're like, if we could have 10 seconds in the right aisle, you could do a lot of damage.
Yeah, a lot of damage.
You definitely could. You know, we have so many products in there now, and so many high quality, high priced items. You know, the goggles, the, you know, all the Fat Shock products.
Or I think I'd go straight for the battery aisle.
Or batteries. Yeah, you know, we have some batteries that are hundreds of dollars, but a single battery.
It's crazy. I think what we were just talking about a second ago, too, a lot of really supportive wives is a definite ingredient in success. Absolutely. Another amazing thing, too, and I think there's a common line, a thread here, is having an amazing community to back you up. And in both aspects with you, with FPV Emmanuel's, and us obviously being blessed with Flight Test, having a community that gives you feedback and that feels connected to you, we could never have done this without having that feedback and having that engagement. And it's truly a valuable thing to have people within your family that trust you and people outside your family that treat you like family. And speaking of that, it was really cool because we've talked for many years.
Yeah.
But to get to come down and meet you guys in person, it was probably about 5 minutes before it was like good old friends. And I just love that about getting invited into your home and getting to walk through your aisles and meet all your great employees and stuff. It was a real special moment. And I think that's a testimony to how nice this hobby is. I don't know many places where you can go and instantly connect with someone, even a complete and total stranger, and within minutes. You're enjoying each other's company and making memories together and just enjoying life. It's something really special about this hobby.
I agree with you. You know, for us, it being at work, and I'm sure it's the same for you, we have such a good time, you know, every day. Like, I call weekends an interruption, you know. It's true, though, you know, when you, and they say, you know, when you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life, you know.
Yeah, I think we all agreed that there's definitely a lot of similar, the atmosphere is very similar at your guys' shop compared to ours.
Yeah,
it does feel right similar. Down to the Nerf darts flying across.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for rubbing it in.
I think another thing that's really cool too, kind of going along with what Josh was saying about how, you know, having a good community, there's a lot of sporting events and just different things that are so competitive and it almost becomes like top secret. I know when we got to talk with Joshua Finn about the F3 or what the little
F1D, rubber, I think
F1D
it was.
Yeah, we keep forgetting the name of that. These guys are like top secret about
their little black bubble.
They have this little book and they write their settings on it. They don't share it with anybody because it's such a high level of competition. Yeah, it goes with them. And like, I know that just from experience of talking to you for the last few weeks and stuff, and you know, that like your PID settings and all that stuff are just open to the public. And you know, there's such a sharing going on in our community where we help people and it's not a secret. And
it's
we want to see,
because it wasn't always like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
In the RC hobby. So it used to be, and I'm sure it's different depending on where you go. I was talking to some guys today at the event, but a lot of the clubs and stuff around where we live, it's kind of tough to get in the in crowd. Mm-hmm. And you show up and you're flying something different than everybody else. In our case, it's cheap foam planes.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. But even before I was with Flight Test, like me and my dad, going to the you know, the flying field, it's easy to kind of feel out of place and you're having trouble and your ailerons are reversed and you don't know what's going on and people just kind of look at you and don't even help. So I've seen that shift too, especially with the online communities that are growing all over. Everyone's sharing information and
it seems to be a new wave of kind of people getting into it or shifting some way from something else. But it's open, yeah.
I remember back before Flight Test was even a thing, Josh and I
yes. Can I say this? It's going to be the most provocative word.
Yeah, go ahead.
We did something called Operation Pizzamoff.
Josh worked for a copier company, and he would call me on lunch break, and we would meet up at this legit flying club, and we would go out there.
And I was a member there, and it started from something, and this is probably as
antagonistic as I think I've ever been. But there was an amazing individual. I went out to a club, and one thing I didn't want to do is just come in and be like, yeah, I fly for, you know, I fly a lot and stuff. And at that point, it becomes a competition. Yeah. So I'd actually take the role as a newbie. Come and like, wow, this is really cool. You know, I really love airplanes. I wouldn't say anything dishonest, but I wouldn't be like, I've been flying since I was 12 or something like that. And they would treat me like dirt. And I'd be like, I, you know, I came to a club. It was so convenient. I was like, I want to join. And like, okay, but you need to go through lessons. Like, actually, I've flown for a while. I'm a pretty decent pilot. Well, okay, do you have an AMA card? Here's my AMA card. Here's my thing. Here's my $50. Well, I pulled out, I think I, at the time, little it was a
cardboard.
Yeah,
you know.
It was, well, it was a tribute. It was a tribute.
Oh, yeah.
FX. And I beat Denson that runway and threw down as hard as I could. And I turned around, and there was a little congregation of people. You're an unsafe pilot. And it's like, what'd I do? And it's like, well, you're flying too low inverted. Well, am I flying the wrong pattern? No, but it's really low and it's inverted. Well, you know what? When you, it's there's no difference, you know. And, but from that point on, there was a little bit of contention. But we ended up connecting and stuff, and then getting along with most of the guys. But there's a gentleman named John Bird, and John Bird was an amazing individual in a wheelchair.
All he wanted to do was
all
fly.
All he wanted to do was
like,
fly.
He was and so adamant about learning. And
his story was powerful. He was in a wheelchair because he had two strokes. And that left his hands without feeling. And this gentleman was a master wood carver. He carved wooden birds that you could run your finger down the feathers and you could feel it. It felt like real feathers. They were so perfectionist. And this gentleman was a genius. But he lost feelings, and when he lost feelings in his hands, it obviously crippled him up. That brought on weight, that brought on lack of function, and he was trying to get his life back through learning how to fly. And these gentlemen would not teach him how to fly because he couldn't feel his hands. And that, frankly, ticked me off. And so I took John Bird in and started teaching him. And Eric, you jumped in. We had these flying ministry nights at my house, and he would come out with his wonderful wife, and we'd work with him. And even when he had success, these people did not rejoice with him. They were like, oh, Bixler's just holding the cord down for him, to the point where I had to hold the transmitter above my head to show that I wasn't touching anything. And
he was flying.
Like, he was flying.
He learned and was
totally
able to do it.
It took a long time, but he was doing it. So Eric and I, and this is where the cranky came in, and maybe I'm making the story too long, we started something called Operation Piss 'Em Off, and we wanted to give them a taste of what it felt like to feel like how they made John Bird feel. So we would go rain or shine, and we would flood the field. They would all be my guests. And we would beat dents in that field. It was a point where it was raining, and we were under the
they had like a
gazebo thing,
and
there was water dripping down our antennas, and we're doing inverted passes, the most obnoxious things.
Just dragging the runners down the pavement,
And to the point where when they would see us roll in, they would just get in their cars and go. And actually, the funny thing is, I'm actually good friends with all those gentlemen today, and they've turned around considerably.
Yeah.
But
the sad part was John's, you know.
John passed.
Yeah, he passed away, and
the reason he passed was powerful. He actually got his life back, and he was going to have surgery to get his hands fixed so he could fly more, and he died on the operating table. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, like, trying to, like, get better at flying. Yeah. Like, what a powerful story. Like, wow. You know,
so the moral of the story is engage people. No one's beyond learning how to fly. And I thought the wife was going to be furious at me. I took her husband away. You know, if he wouldn't learn how to fly, he would be around for many more years. But she wasn't. She was gracious and kind about the fact that he had enjoyment in his life, and he got to do something that got him out of his depression. And this hobby is so powerful because that is something that can happen. My wife's uncle is an amazing individual, powerful man in the business, and he came out with muscular dystrophy. And he had depression, and when he got into this hobby, because he couldn't fly full scale anymore, he's a full scale pilot, he found love for this hobby, and he builds like crazy. He's an amazing builder, and that has brought more rehab than the doctors have. And he wanted to be able to fly, so he got himself up and worked out his legs, and he got walking again. And although it may not be very fast, he's functional, and he's engaging family. So we've kind of taken a very serious turn, but guys, if I can encourage anybody within this hobby, don't think of it as just a hobby. Think of it as a way to impact people, because it is. It's powerful. Dads can impact their children. This event here was warmed my heart. This hobby's turned. It used to be that, you know, a husband would come home, load his plane in the car, and then off to the flying field and burn gas for the rest of the day. Now you see a husband run home, grab the kids, grab the wife, throw a bunch of ratty, foamy planes in the back of the car or multi-rotor, and then tear off to the field, and they make a day of it. That, to me, is something I want to protect and fight for, because to see wives and husbands and kids all doing something together. It doesn't matter if you're rolling the thing up into a ball. That kid has a memory. And to see the dads playing with their kids is just truly special. That's something that'll bring you far more fulfillment for those kids and for those people you're doing it with. I remember every bit of those crazy, weird crashes and stuff with my dad far more than the successful flights I had alone.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's a serious moment. That's as deep as we've ever gone.
Yeah.
It made me feel like I'm just flying thing and crashing. What am I doing? I need to do something more meaningful than this.
What am I doing with my life?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting to another level.
Okay, that's I'm leaving after the topic.
Well, I think on the topic of community, Lumineer has a great community around it. Yes. I mean, I know that there's people that anytime you guys come out with a new product, they're like, oh, I must have it, you know, which same way with Flight Test, you know, and we have a great community of people that are very supportive of our products and what we do. You guys are launching something new that is kind of a new level of participation for your community and for the great people you have. And I believe you're calling it, is it Lumineer Labs?
That's right.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Tim?
Sure. You know, one of the things that we recognized was that there is so many amazing ideas that come across our desk, either from pilots or friends or, you know, colleagues or people at other companies, and you just can't execute them all, you know?
Sure.
And for us to, when we worked on the QAB 250, it was one of those moments where, you know, Andy actually said to me, Tim, we got to work on a small mini frame, you know? And we had so many other projects at the time, and then eventually he convinced me to do it, and we started working on it, and quickly went through the prototyping phases, et cetera. But, you know, working on a real product that then you put a lot of energy behind, it just takes time and focus, and you can't do that with hundreds of products or projects. So what we wanted to do with this Lumineer Labs idea is to be able to take something, an idea that comes across that we really like, and put it together quickly and get it out there into the hands of the people that want to try it. And really, it just shortens the cycle time that normally would be months for us to develop a product and prototype it and get it ready for production and then mass produce it and do all the quality assurance and all of that. We're basically cutting out sort of 80% of that. And we hope, you know, that just means that if somebody works on a cool idea, we can, our new Lumineer Labs brand can enable to get that to market so that, you know, let's say we make it a small run of 100 of these items, 100 people can enjoy it if they want to. You know, obviously these are not sort of the fully baked Lumineer sort of mainstay products. And one product that we're coming out with that we're announcing this whole Lumineer Labs concept with is a frame that we're calling the Blaster.
And we like it.
And the Blaster was sent to me by a friend of mine. He said, look what I did. You know, I was talking to my daughter. She's 10. And she said, wouldn't it be cool if you had like, they were playing with a Nerf gun. And, you know, Nerf has these discs, the Nerf discs that shoot out of the
Vortex discs or something.
That's right. So my friend basically because his daughter egged him on to do it, he figured out a way to put a sort of the equivalent of a baseball throwing machine. You know, he's using a brushless motor and a servo, and then there's a magazine on the airframe. It's a quad airframe. So you have basically sort of 15 of these Nerf discs in the magazine, and you can shoot them out with this brushless motor, shooting them out at an incredible speed.
Yes.
So you guys saw it in the show.
Awesome.
It literally could fly for 50 feet plus, you know.
Yeah. In the view from the FPV camera.
That's right. Yeah. So basically we were, you know, my friend had the concept. He then did a lot of the product design and the plates, and then we helped them sort of figure out how to actually fabricate all the other parts that you need to do this. We did a lot of testing on what motor to use to really maximize, you know, the speed of the discs.
Right, the right servo and the pushing mechanism and all that stuff.
Yeah, all of that. I mean, there were some problems to solve, but we did it very, very quickly. But it's one of those products, you know, it's maybe it'll catch on and we'll make it a full-blown Lumineer product. But even if it doesn't, it's such a cool thing. It should be out there. People should be able to buy it.
It's gonna inspire people, too.
I hope so.
Level growth.
Yeah, I'm definitely
one.
Interested.
I definitely want one.
I know Peter does too. Peter was talking all about it.
You see it and you go, oh man, this thing is it's so much fun. I mean, the other thing with the mention, they don't hurt. You know, it can hit you full of speed and it doesn't hurt, because that's so important these days. Anything that has to do with like quadcopters or drones or whatever you call it, shooting something. But the moment you see it, you go, man, this is so much fun.
Especially since it is, you know, Luminia being a FPV focused company, it is very FPV focused. You know, the FPV cameras, right, sitting over where the discs fly out. So the vision is actually really. The visual is very cool when you see these discs coming out, and they come out very consistently and very powerful. You saw it.
Fly really far. Man, it's funny because Peter made this thing back at the shop. It's been clear back before Christmas, I think. His wasn't quite as refined as yours. Yeah. I walked around the corner, and I had just got there. I was carrying a few things in, and I walked around the corner, and like 100 Nerf darts hit me all at the same time. Yeah. It wasn't refined like yours.
It's like 50 rounds a second.
It was just like, and they were all... It hit me like 100 miles an hour.
And those did hurt.
And they were the really darts.
The difference in Peter's was that it really did sting.
And it was kind of dangerous.
So yours is definitely a refined product. And
again, it's a Luminia Labs project, so I wouldn't call it refined. You know, that's really the point. You know,
compared to our projects, it's pretty refined.
One thing I liked about yours is it was only one brushless motor at a responsible RPM, not two brushless motors at 3 cells, fully cranked up.
Peter was talking enough that he talked to me later. He's like, that thing was so cool. He's like, I gotta get one.
I think he told us too. He's like, yeah, like every time I shot a dart out of there, it destroyed it. Like it was like so powerful, it was ripping him apart or something.
Yeah, it was a crude design, and I know he'll refine it because Peter usually sticks with stuff until it's right. But
I have a feeling he'll end up just getting one of these quads. From
we were talking about adding the OSD with a little target.
Crosshair.
It's really, it was something else. I mean, the moment that we saw it, like sitting there on the desk, and I remember Andy mentioning it to me, and seeing some pictures, but I went over there, and you look at it, and your eyes got like stuck on it, okay, turn it on now.
I just want to take it to an event and like fly it over in the flying field. But sometimes at events you'll go up to like a spectator and obviously a safe distance, and you'll tip your wings at them and they'll wave and be like hi, man. And then just be like.
I was just thinking, today was kind of funny. I don't remember the guy who was flying it. But I think just talked to him. I think we talked to him. He had a little
face.
A quadcopter. It was a quad, right?
It was a TPS Discovery.
Yeah, Discovery with some LEDs, and he programmed it to have these little eyes that look around and blink. And I was thinking, you can put the eyes and then put the shooting thing behind the eyes so people can be super like, friendly. Oh, look at these eyes. He's blinking. And then choo-choo-choo-choo. It was impressive. To the mad eyebrows or something. It also has some LEDs. It has some LEDs on there. And I said, it looks like a mouth. And I said to the guy, man, you should animate the mouth as well. And he said, I'm working on that. If he synced it to the music that he was, because it also played. He has speakers and it's playing music.
Playing disco
music. I said,
just
sync it with the song.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, man, okay.
That'll be the next.
It was basically digital. It was basically like digital googly eyes.
Yeah.
Which is right up Josh's alley.
We were talking to him, and he's like, this thing uses a ton of power because it had LEDs all over it. Yeah. He's like, this is the slowest 6S you will ever see.
I loved it.
My friend Osbjorn took the Naze board, how it does all the cool stuff with lights, and I love talking about him. He's been so instrumental in helping us with get the Naze board up and running, but he has turn signals on his quad, and so when he leans on the rudder, like, the turn signal starts flashing, so the guy behind him knows where he's going.
Yeah,
it's
that
like,
is,
so many people are so doing polite, such cool things.
That's very polite.
I'm loving the direction this is taking, because as you mentioned, you know, when you were first getting into the FPV stuff, the importance was on long range. That's where everybody was putting a lot. So with the development of the racing and the stunts and the obstacle courses and Nerf targeting,
there's a new one coming.
I think that's just an excellent direction for us to get, because, you know, when you do crash and you're going to, you don't have to walk quite as far. You don't have to drive to look for this aircraft. You
can and it's it. Not as illegal.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's so many things you can do that are so much fun that it just makes long range seem kind of boring. I mean, you can duck underneath tree branches 2 miles away, but there is a cool element
to
that.
Technically, you can't.
Yeah. Right.
Technically speaking, you shouldn't. Yeah. But I mean, it's, I mean, long range is, it's kind of boring, and like it's hard to communicate on video, and it's more of like a personal experience. But
it is hard. For us, you know, you do it once or twice, and then it got stale pretty quickly for us. Yeah. And you get a lot of time. You're like, well, I've been in the air 45 minutes. Now what, like I said, I go land. It was boring.
Well, and it's not like the challenge it used to be, where you had to be skilled in antennas and technology.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
All you do is off the shelf.
But we have found with like the minis and other stuff that it's very repeatable. It's, you find lots of new challenges without having to just push distance or something like that. There's a lot you can do within short range.
Long range definitely used to be more about the challenge of the technical achievement.
Right.
And now that's become so much more accessible.
Oh, it's off the shelf.
It's off the shelf, and so it's not technical achievement anymore. So I think that's why you probably see a lot more popularity of 5.8 and just doing fun things.
Shooting
your
holes.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're having so much fun. Like every time, you know, Austin flies the little nano around the shop, and you know, I sit in my basement. Like, you know, it's just a small couple rooms and just having a ball. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's like so cool. You know, you fly behind the computer, and so just having something like that has changed. You know, changed up from, you know, going 50. I
mean, that's definitely what hooked me up. From a point of view of somebody that has not been doing this for so long, maybe, like, it definitely, you know, you go online and look for radio control stuff and things like that, and I remember watching a long time ago, you know, when I started thinking about quads and maybe getting, I got one of those ladybug, you know, and I was flying, and it was a fun thing, but then I was checking online, you know, trying to figure out what can I get that and be fine, and I remember just seeing these videos, long range videos, and I'll just be like, okay, is something going to happen now?
Yeah.
What's going to happen now?
When
the video needs to be fast-forwarded in their edit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going. He's still going. And now he's coming back. this is awesome. Okay, and then I'll click next. And then, but the moment I saw the first video, it probably was a QAB 250 or any other kind of mini just flying around, to me it was just like, okay, that's one of the.
Yeah.
It felt a little more, and from my perspective, which I'm, you know, I'm an animator, creative, and this kind of stuff, it felt already like more creative, you know, more like.
And you've been pushing it. I mean, I remember when I first started talking to you, and you showed some of your videos, and you're like, I'm going to try 4-cell on it. You're like, what? Like 3-cell is all the power you need. Like, and it was at the time, it just felt like that was the, you know, the limit, and that's what you needed. And he started doing 4-cell. Yeah. And then you were like, I want to put skids on the bottom and try to slide. And then all of a sudden you came out in the video where you went under your car in the parking lot. And
it is like, my car, what? Though. I have to make sure.
I was wondering about that.
Because some people are saying, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, it's my car.
Whenever I went to my car.
Yeah. So that's like the creative stuff you're talking about. Like when Tim and I, we designed the frame, we never would have thought you slide it under a car. Like that wasn't what it was made for, right?
Yeah.
But that's the cool part, how people just make it their own and what they want to do with it.
That definitely comes from, again, from the skating and stuff like that. Just when I do some more stuff.
It's like grinding.
Yeah, the way I did that is like I grabbed some, I think the idea came from just walking down the aisle after it's Thanksgiving, right? No, it's not Thanksgiving. Sorry, I'm confused with the U.S. holidays. But I was seeing the Easter eggs, right?
Okay,
plastic Easter eggs. And I saw a bag of Easter plaster eggs after Easter. And there's like $1 for like the whole bag like this. And
it's
I have
deal.
Some, yeah, this thing is silly. Like I see any bags with a lot of things that are cheap and I want to buy it. The other day we were walking down this, I was walking with my girlfriend in a store, one of those party stores, they sell all kind of things for parties. And I saw a whole bag, like huge bag of like little parachute guys. And then I look at the price and it says, if it's like $4, I'm like, wow, I have to buy this.
Like, I don't even have plans for this yet. But I'm buying it.
This is necessary, you know?
You are a wise man.
Yeah, so the parachute guys fall off as you're sliding on the car? Or?
Well, I should use that for something. I don't know yet. They're still on the bag. And my girlfriend is like, why do you have this one? I don't know. Whatever. Just keep it on your room. It used to be our craft room, but now it turned out into just my
room. You drop one off at like 100 feet up, and then you have to catch it before it hits the ground.
You got to keep going. Yeah, but basically I found those eggs, the plastic eggs, and I thought, I can use that for something. And then it clicked, and basically grabbed the side of the Easter eggs and just drill a little hole on all of them and put them under the QAB legs, four of them. And then so they like can slide. Gear. Yeah.
Nice.
And I call them the X sliders. that's something else. But yeah, nice. I start trying it. I mean, this is so much fun. You can slide around the thing. Yeah, it's just like.
Yeah, you inspired like, Tim. We printed some and he. You should see him around the office. He's just sliding on the floor.
And inline skates for your quad.
You inspired Peter too. Peter made he made like a wooden little mini racing quad. Yeah. It's our prototype for our new electro hub that we're on. But he put a whole the top end looks like a doom buggy with a roll cage that he soldered together.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It was here today.
And then the bottom looks like Santa's sleigh. It's got like two big steel wires that are curled at the front, and it looks like a sled. And he's like, I just want to go so fast and see if I can get it to spark across.
That's amazing. There's always fire involved.
Like metal cleats from
something
baseball.
Something has to blow up with Peter. He's not happy.
It was really cool to see it. It almost looked like a vintage quad. Like the wood little things and everything's like, wow.
It's like a steampunk quad.
Yeah.
The wires,
Really cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. We didn't see it flying, though. I want to see it flying. You know?
Yeah. I haven't seen it fly either.
There's still time.
So we're pretty much we've overachieved slightly for this podcast as far as time goes. We're about an hour 15, but I figured I'm sure everyone is on the edge of their seat as to what Lumineer and GetFPV is going to do next, what's around the corner. And Flight Test was privileged to see a lot of things that we signed NDAs for. But
give me enough Mountain Dew.
No, we've seen a lot of great things you guys are cooking up there, but I'll let you guys censor and share what you want to on what's coming up, or you can be as vague or as specific as you'd like.
I think we're working on a ton of products and projects. You know, the Lumineer Labs, obviously there's going to be a bunch of different things coming out, and those are going to be sort of a little tongue-in-cheek, but that's what this hobby is, you know, a big part of.
Yeah.
This is a big part of the hobby. But there's a lot of stuff that we're working on that really will fundamentally change and improve FPV as we know it. Can't say too much about it now, but I showed you some of those things, and we're excited about it. Thank you. We appreciate that. And you know, in this hobby, one thing I've learned, you know, when I remember clearly when I... you know, announced the QAV 500 and the Clean Dirty that I talked about earlier, within 4 days, the first copy clone was, up on YouTube, you know. And it was sort of a punch in the gut then, you know, when I was just starting out and I didn't know what to make of it. I grew a lot since then, and now it's just, part of it is flattering, you know, when you look on eBay and you type in QAV 250 and there's hundreds of results, none of them the Lumineer QAV 250.
Yeah.
You know, you come to learn to live with it, and luckily, you know, our customers seek us out and they know what we're about and they know the quality of the products that we're trying to achieve. And
I really like your batteries.
Thank you very much.
Amazing to see those things perform and the quality. Wow.
Well, and also price, competitive. I mean, you guys are like uber competitive in the industry for batteries, so I know where I'm getting mine from now on.
Thank you. And it was great to have you guys in town and come down anytime, you know, and hopefully we'll have many more reasons to get together.
More sunshine. Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. It literally felt like Josh was saying earlier, like it felt like we've known you guys for years. Like I'm almost like sad that we're going home now. It's like I want to hang out with you guys for like another week.
With less rain. It was great. I mean, and I'm coming from a perspective that I started this a little late, and I discovered you guys maybe not from the very beginning, but probably, you know, I was talking to you, I think, but I just like watch one of your videos, and this was a few years back, but I just will watch one and just hit next, and then you just keep going with it. Yeah, it's like nonstop. It's like, how do they have so many? How do they miss this stuff? But it was pretty nice to meet you guys, and I'm like, as what you were saying, Eric, it's like similar to what you were saying. Like, I feel like I know you, you know, from watching the videos. And then when I meet you guys, I say, these guys are the same like in the videos. Super nice guys. I was thinking, Joss was going to put sunglasses and not look at me and just look to the side. I walked in the house, and the first thing I saw was you. You were like there, like fixing a plane, and I saw you through the glass window, and I'm like, there he is. And I walk in and say, yeah, there he is. It's him. And yeah. And it's funny. I work with, you know, sometimes I get to meet some famous people working in animated movies. But sure. With you guys, I got the same kind of feeling, you know? But more like, oh, look at that. There's them. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was great.
Really well,
great.
I can probably say the feeling was mutual.
it was awesome.
I want to do one thing real fast. Fred has been here, literally. I don't want to embarrass you. Sorry, Fred. But he has been here since the very beginning, and I just want to say thank you. I'm sure you guys too. Yes. He has done so much for us. I remember when some of the first flight test episodes came out, Flying Monkey was right on this stuff. Yeah. So, you know, just thank you for being here and
those of you who don't know Fred too, he's moderator on the forums and
article guy.
Editor of the articles.
Article man.
I will say some disclosure. I think I know where this is coming from. I told them a story. I was at Walmart and I had the flight test sweatshirt on. And someone came up to me. He's like, hey, I recognize that logo. I'm like, yeah, this is flight test. That's great. I've been wearing these for years. I'd be glad someone's come up and recognize it. And I said, you know, I'm kind of famous. And he says, oh? I said, yeah, I'm Flying Monkey. Nothing. And yeah. It was too late for me to try to claim to be Josh Bixler at that point. So.
Your hair's too long.
A little bit more, man. Yeah.
But on a serious note, you know, that's not why I said that. It's so good to have you here. We've got to hang out just a couple of times, and it's just always fun.
It's always great.
And it's not the same online.
No. We talk, all the time. I mean, we have a Facebook chat, and we talk probably every day. And it's just, you know.
That is the beauty of online, though, is that we are able to keep in touch, even though it's not the same. Yeah. But we are able to keep in touch.
We've had Skype video calls, and we got face-to-face time before we even really got
countless Skype calls with Tim and Andy and
the game. Isn't that always awkward? Don't you want to start making faces at each other? I catch myself just wanting to make faces.
I thought it was surreal the first time we talked to you on Skype. It was like we were in a flight test episode.
Yeah.
It's like we see the flight test guys all on the screen together. We're just watching an episode.
And all of a sudden they talk
back.
But
then they're talking to you. Sean and the guys there in the background, and they hear it, and they're like, oh, yeah, you guys are just on a flight test episode. We're just talking on Skype.
That's funny. In reality, we don't stage it that way. We just try to find a bare spot on the workbench.
Right.
And we put it down, and that just happened to be
More likely than not, I take my elbow and just clear some things and just put my laptop down. But, yeah.
My favorite was when we turned to you guys one time, and then Peter was behind the camera, and every now and then he would just kind of lean over the laptop, and you got his face upside down, hi. Just to remind you that he was there.
We like to keep it professional.
Well, one thing I think that definitely needs to happen is we need to definitely get together more often. Your family, the way you guys took us in and getting to meet all your employees and to see your heart and stuff was truly touching. And then Fred getting the opportunity to come back and hang out with you again.
In your neck of the woods for once.
In your neck of the woods. We're on your
close.
Turn.
Yeah,
close enough.
Yeah, it was a blessing. So this is, I don't care if it was raining or not, it was a wonderful trip, and we truly thank you for making it possible for us to come down.
Thank you.
Yeah, so glad you guys are here.
So much fun.
So that being said, I wanted to announce that GetFPV and Sharpu will be coming to Flight Fest. So if you all want to.
I'm going to try really hard.
I was just kidding. That was premature, but we'll see what we can do. No take backs. Yep.
We would love to come.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, it'll be wonderful to have you guys. All right, guys. We want to thank you for listening. We want to thank each and every person here for taking the time to be on the podcast. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
See you.